Hi everybody, Perez Baruch Eichler. Growth Through Torah, Rich Returns is another title for the broadcast. Let me know which one you prefer, but right now we're sticking with Growth for Greatness. Rich Returns is the name of a book, Be'ez Hashem, that we have hopefully coming out soon. Meanwhile, you know that Pesach is right around the corner, so let's get in the mood and I'll tell you a great story. Yeah, we're getting close, closer and closer. Zman Cherusin, where Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, he's going to take us out again. So let's think about things that we can do to help get us out of Mitzrayim. No, we didn't change our names, we didn't change the way we dressed and the language that we spoke, which was clean and pure, and I dare say holy, and no Lashon Hara. So where are you going to be? You going to be home with the family? You know, so many people have gone through so many difficult times. There will be people who will be sitting around their table, lo aleinu. Unfortunately, with family members that are no longer here, the heart goes out to them. We hope that Mashiach will come this year so that all families will be united and reunited with their loved ones. It's such a difficult time to be without those who one loves and cares about. So let's think about what we can do for Achdus to unify who we are as Am Yisrael. You know, there's a beautiful story that I once heard from Rabbi Mati Roberts, and it kind of coalesces with what we're talking about in terms of the pride that a person takes in the Yiddishkeit. Now, it's a little different than what you might anticipate in terms of a story that would suggest Achdus. I mean, especially given the fact that the person involved in the story had really separated himself from the Jewish community, but it does make a point about how far-reaching it is when a person does make some effort to be part of the entire Klal of Klal Yisrael. So the story goes something like this. There was a man who had moved to Australia. He was a dayan from South Africa, actually, a Rav or Rosh Hashiva, and he was with his family, and I don't know if it was during Cholmud, Pesach, or another time of year, I seem to remember it was around that time, but they were taking an outing in, of all places, the Outback. And I don't have to tell you, if you've ever been to Australia or you know about the Outback, not exactly the most densely populated, civilized area. There are Aborigines and a lot of beautiful Niflis Aboire that are available. But in terms of actual civilization as we know it and appreciate it, it was pretty far out, to put it mildly. At any rate, they were driving through and they passed by, to their surprise, a cemetery. There was a cemetery. People had been buried in this plot. They decided they wanted to be buried in the Outback, way, way out there. So the husband says to his wife, let's go in, maybe there'll be some Jewish names there. She says, what? Jewish names out here? You might as well go to Mars. You're not going to find any Jewish people buried out here. He said, look, you don't know. Let's just go. He walked in and didn't see any, and they're headed on their way out, when all of a sudden he stops dead in his tracks, and the Rav looks and he sees there's a monument that has what looks like Jewish printing, Jewish letters on the matseva, on the monument itself, and he realizes it's upside down and backwards. What was it doing in a non-Jewish cemetery? A Jewish monument, could it be? Upside down and backwards of the letters, and he looks, and he looks, and he realizes it hits him like a ton of bricks. What does it say? kosher le Pesach. There, etched in stone, literally, there it was. Kosher le Pesach. What in the world is going on? His wife says, well what does that mean? She says, I don't know. Let's write down the name. She says, what do you mean write down the name? What are you going to do with the name? She says, we'll go back to Melbourne, and we'll look up in the Melbourne directory, in the Sydney directory. We'll see if there's any names that match this. She said, oh, come on. What's the likelihood of that? He says, I don't know, but it's worth a try. So they get back, and sure enough, one of those names in the Sydney or Melbourne directory was exactly the name of this fellow. So the rabbi immediately called that number, phone rings, and a woman answers. Yes? Hi, this is Rabbi so-and-so. I was out in the outback and discovered a cemetery there, and I discovered a name. I wonder if you might know that name. And he said the name. She said, why, yes, that was my late husband. He said, it was. It was just so unusual to just see this monument in a cemetery that was in such a remote place. Was your husband Jewish? She says, oh, yes, he was. He wasn't observant, but yes, he was Jewish. He said, can you tell me what was the reason for putting this type of writing and what it said on in particular? She says, well, yes, quite simple, really. You see, my husband, he was Jewish, but didn't observe very much, except on one holiday, Passover. Yeah, yes, he would request that I clean the entire household, everything, and take out every grain of bread and crackers and anything that had any leavening in it whatsoever. And the entire house for the entire holiday would be entirely clean. And he observed that particular Jewish observance meticulously, though he really didn't do anything else. And I myself am not Jewish, so didn't observe anything. She said, "You are not Jewish." She said, "No." But he insisted on this particular observance, and I was happy to comply. He said, "Look, you know, it must have meant so much to your husband. But what was it that prompted you to put this particular writing on?" She said, "Oh, well, obviously, it was so important to him to have the house cleaned from things that had leavening in it, rising agents, and only these crackers, it's called matzah, I took one of the wrappings off one of the boxes and I gave it to the monument maker and asked him if he could merely find a way to engrave it or to seal it into the stone, and that's what he did." And now the rabbi understood. The writing had been upside down and backwards because the monument maker wasn't Jewish, had no clue what was up and what was down, what was right and what was left, and what the Hebrew words meant. Kosher, the Pesach. And then the rabbi had a bold idea. Oz kin nemer. He said, I wonder, if we were to pick up the expense for it, pay for it, would it be all right with you if we exhumed the body and put it in a Jewish cemetery? Obviously, being Jewish did have importance to your husband, and it would be a great honor for him if he could be buried amongst his people, and we'll pay for the burial. I don't think he would have minded. I think he would be quite happy about that. Yes, please, go ahead. I'll make the arrangements for and help you to get him exhumed. And so they did. And the man was taken from his burial place out in the outback, amongst those who had no connection to his people, and buried with a richtige, correct Jewish burial in a Jewish cemetery. Now you might ask yourself, what do you think would be the merit of that? What in the world would that indicate? We know mida keneged mida. We say in Yigdal that a person is rewarded for the good and punished for the bad, but no deed goes undealt with. The Kaddish Baruch Hu rewards mida keneged mida. So what do you think it might be? So one of my children had this fascinating insight. Ta, they said, he separated himself from the rest of the world that he obviously had been immersed in. He didn't care much else about or didn't have any knowledge of of other mitzvahs and didn't observe them. But in this one mitzvah of matzah, he separated himself from the entire non-Jewish world and identified himself as a Jew and said, I'm a Jew and I'm different and I make myself distinct from that on a conscious or unconscious level. And by virtue of that act of piety, of that bravery, of that courage, of that conviction, in death, Hashem made it that the Hashgachah process, his divine intervention, would bring a rabbi and his family to the outback to find this lost, lone Jew and bring him back amongst his people, even in death. An amazing thing to think about. How appreciative we have to be that we're part of Am Yisrael, and that we join together around our Seder tables and pray, and with every ounce of sincerity that we have, and of conviction, and of hope, and knowledge that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim then, and He'll take us out now. Be'ez Hashem, we'll all be united in this world. Be'ez Hashem, certainly in Olam Haba, and when Mashiach will hopefully be here long, long before then, and we'll be united together. Mikam Ka Yisrael, Goyachad Varan. It's a Hakosher B'Sameach, everybody. Hakosher B'Sameach. Wishing you a beautiful, wonderful, uplifting Yontif. Peretz Baruch Eichler, Grow for Greatness. You can hear me on the podcast and on YouTube also. And you can always reach me at Eichler Media, EICHLERmedia@gmail.com. Good Chodesh, everybody, and a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.